Afternoon, brethren, sisters, scholars. The prophet Jeremiah speaks of the first effort of God to make himself a substantial name among the nations. Israel and Judah are considered the girdle with which God hath clothed himself, or bound about his loins. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory, but they would not hear. The prophet gives the reason of their unfitness for that name. It was quite in their own power to hear or not to hear. God chose them, and as he always does with any materials he is about to use, proved them. The first girdle was marred because it would not cleave to the loins and was profitable for nothing. Does this mean that the Lord has abandoned his plan? In other words, are we to suppose that he will not now make a name for himself in the earth? Would that not make our Creator changeable in his plans, or as defeated by circumstances? It would be, in fact, to say that the potter has not power over the clay. If what some say, that God has no concern with the Jews or the Gentiles or the earth, other than to hate the first forever, select some of the second for departure at death to kingdoms beyond the stars, and to then destroy the earth like a bombshell, if this is what is going to be done, then most certainly the original plan of God, or the original plans of God, will not be carried out. And consequently, all who have lived and died in the hope of seeing those plans fulfilled have died with no hope at all. Is this the case? Let us start at the beginning and find out. We look at the history of Israel going back to Abraham in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 7. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. Also in Genesis 13, verses 14 through 15, And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. This is the promise to Abraham. It's an everlasting promise, forever. They'll inherit that land forever. In Genesis 15:18, it says, In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And in Genesis 17:8, And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And this is Abraham's journey where he traveled. And it shows the land that he's going to inherit, kind of in that triangle, which will, in the next side, we'll see the resurrection of Israel. In the kingdom age, this will be where the 12 tribes inherit that land, the land that Abraham traveled. In Hebrews 11, verses 8 and 9, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Hebrews 11, verses 8 and 9. Isaac and Jacob, they were promised the same land. To Isaac, Genesis 26, verse 3, I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham, thy father, and to Jacob, in Genesis 28, verse 4, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. To thy seed, I mentioned the 12 tribes a while ago, the 12 sons of Jacob. The 12 tribes, they were promised the same land, being Jews, which I showed you in the kingdom age. This land is what they'll inherit right here. All of this will. This is the land that each tribe will get. And then Israel goes down into Egypt for many years, and Moses delivers them from the Egyptians and goes to Mount Sinai. And Israel becomes the kingdom of God. In Deuteronomy 11:8 it reads, therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong, and go in and possess the land, whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give unto them and to their seed a land that floweth with milk and honey. And furthermore, in Deuteronomy 11, verse 22, for if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. And we notice the word cleave, like the girdle, is supposed to cleave to God. The warning to Israel in Deuteronomy 4:23, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. And the Lord said, scatter you, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. The warning to Israel. Here's the kingdom of God. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years under Moses, and then they enter the promised land under Joshua. Then you have the period of the judges. God is their king during this time, but they aren't happy with God as their king. They want to be like the other nations under the last judge, Samuel. And that's a great warning to us. They want to be like the world around us. And then Saul is their first king, which turned out not so good. But then they had David as their second king. And God further reveals his plan and his promise to David. In 2 Samuel 7, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time, and as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish thy kingdom. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now, David's son, is this talking of Solomon? Solomon reigns right after David, and the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. But after many years of disobedience, God's judgment of Israel is brought forth during the last king, Zedekiah. Israel is destroyed. In Ezekiel 21, verse 25, And thou profane and wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith the Lord God, Remove the diadem, and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low, and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it him. And Israel was overturned by the Babylonians, then they were overturned by the Romans, and the next overturning, we believe, will be when Russia comes down with their allies on them. And the time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled, and he who comes whose right it is will be Christ. Israel, still God's chosen people, even after they're destroyed. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. And Zechariah 2, verse 8, For thus saith the Lord of hosts, After the glory hath he sent me unto the nation which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. And still today Israel is the apple of God's eye. Ezekiel 37, The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out into the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Speaking of Israel, and we'll see how they were dried, how they got so dry. Jesus predicts the conquest and exile of the Jews in Luke 21, verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And that time is getting soon. And this is the Ark of Titus, the Roman general Titus, who destroyed Jerusalem in fulfillment of Christ's prophecy, raised a monument to his victory. On this monument, he depicted the Roman armies carrying away Jewish captives and spoils from the temple. Jesus predicts the destruction of the Jewish temple in Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And here's the ruins of the temple. These stones, which used to be part of the temple buildings, were thrown down from the top of the wall to the right. They are a silent witness to the truth of Christ's warning. In subsequent wars, the Romans sent the Jews into exile. The Bar Kokhba revolt in Israel is crushed by Rome. The Jews are forbidden to live there, and the city is surrounded by a wall. Thousands of Jews are sold into slavery outside of Israel. It is forbidden to teach the Jewish religion or read the scriptures. Pagan temples are built in Jerusalem, including all the temple site. Jews are forbidden to return on pain of death. They were destroyed and scattered. The Jewish people wandered the earth. In Leviticus 26:33, it reads, "And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your city waste." And in Jeremiah 24:9, "And I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, and taunt and a curse, in all places whither I shall drive them." For centuries they were persecuted, derided, and mocked. And Christians wrote about the Jews. "The Jews are the odious assassins of Christ, and for killing God there is no expiation possible, no indulgence or pardon. Christians may never cease vengeance, and the Jew must live in servitude forever. God always hated the Jews. It is essential that all Christians hate them." And also, "The Jew can never understand the scriptures and forever will bear the guilt of the death of Jesus." Augustine 354-407 AD. I find it strange when reading these, I stop and think about it. The Christians who believe in Christ, and Christ was a Jew, and they're talking about the Jews this way, and we continue on with it. The Jews' guilt of the crucifixion of Jesus consigned them to perpetual servitude, and like Cain, they are to be wanderers and fugitives. The Jews will not dare to raise their necks, bow under the yoke of perpetual slavery against the reverence of the Christian faith. The Pope, Innocent III, 1237. And Martin Luther King, 1543, "Set Jewish synagogues on fire for the honor of God. God will see we are Christians when we get rid of the Jews. Likewise, homes should be destroyed. They should be put in a stable. They are not heirs of promises of God, and they deserve to die." Many Christians said the Jews would never return to their land. They have been cast out, dispersed, and utterly rejected for almost 1,500 years. By virtue of their own merits, they still hope to return there again. But they have no such promise with which they could console themselves, other than what their false imaginations smuggle into scriptures, or into scripture. These persons must be informed that the kingdom of Israel was led into captivity and destroyed, that it never returned home and never will return home. Martin Luther, 1543. What the Bible says. In Jeremiah 46:28, "Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee, for I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have driven them, or driven thee, but I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure, yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished." Whoops. What the Bible does prophesy about the Jews. Jeremiah 30:10-11. "Therefore fear thou not." "Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." But even those who scorned them could not explain their survival. If statistics are right, the Jews constitute but 1% of the human race. It suggests a nebulous, dim puff of stardust lost in the blaze of the Milky Way. Properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of. But he is heard of, has always been heard of. He has made a marvelous fight in this world, in all the ages, and had done it with his hands tied behind him. He could be vain of himself and be excused for it. Mark Twain. Or how they had outlived their worst enemies. The Egyptians, the Babylonian, and the Roman followed and made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burned out, and they sit in twilight now, or have vanished. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? And we know the answer to that, that God keeps the Jews around. They're his chosen people. God has not forgotten his people. Jeremiah 33:25-26. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinance of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob, and David my servant, so that I will not take away of his seed, and to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return, and have mercy on them. And we go back to Ezekiel 37:7-8. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bones to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And the bones become alive again. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. We've seen Israel scattered and brought back into the land. Ezekiel 37:21 reads, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. William Torrey, 1695, considering how these dry bones of Israel lie scattered most parts of the world over, and do hardly know themselves of what nation they are, much less do others know, and it may be speak divers languages. I rather incline to think that God will, in some way or another, first bring the Jews into their own land, and give them advantage to return by drying up the river Euphrates, that is, as I conceive, by diminishing and abating the great power of the Turk in and about that part of the world, and that either by intestine commotions of or wars with other nations or both. Now in the time when those dry bones will come together and stand upon their feet and become an exceeding great army and have breath breathed into them and have a civil life put into them, but no spiritual life till after they be in their own land. Thomas Newton in 1754. The preservation of the Jews is really one of the most signal and illustrious acts of divine providence. and what but a supernatural power could have preserved them in such a manner as none other nation upon earth hath been preserved. As the Jews were to be led away captive into all nations, so Jerusalem was to be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And accordingly, Jerusalem has never since been in the possession of the Jews. This is in 1754. When the times of the Gentiles shall be fulfilled, then the expression implies that the Jews shall be restored. And for what reason can we believe that though they are dispersed among all nations, yet by a constant miracle they are kept distinct from all but for the farther manifestation of God's purpose towards them? 2,000 years, miracles of survival. Into captivity, A.D. 70. Scattered in the Roman Empire. Expulsion in Europe, 1,000 to 1,500 A.D. The Jews in Europe, 1937 to 1941. And then extermination of the Jews in 1941 to 1945. John Thomas, in 1849, says, they will immigrate thither as agriculturists, as traders, in the hope of ultimately establishing their commonwealth, but more immediately of getting rich in silver and gold by commerce with India, and in cattle and goods by their industry at home under the efficient protection of the British power. And we've seen a lot of that come to pass. Ezekiel 37:22. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And we have yet to see that. That is future, something that's going to happen. The 12 tribes of Israel inheriting their land, I showed you from before. Ezekiel 37:23-28. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they, and their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with me, or with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Speaking of the temple that's going to be set up on Mount Zion. When that's set up, God will, and Christ will be with us forever. The land will be made new again, like in the Garden of Eden. Israel regathered in Ezekiel 38:8-12. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people, against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle, goods, and dwell in the midst of the land. They shall dwell safely. Someday they will. but not right now. To Jesus, his genealogy, the book of the children of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, we read before all these people talking bad about Jesus, but he was the son of David and the son of Abraham. And we are in the hope of the promises made to Abraham. Never said anything new about any new promise God's made to us. In the New Testament, it always speaks of the promises made to Abraham. That was Jesus' hope, Paul's hope, Peter's hope, all New Testament. To the Gentiles, us by adoption, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:14. The land of promise is the focus of the kingdom of God on earth. In Acts 1:6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? That was their hope. That was what they looked for. They looked for Israel to be restored. But Christians look for Israel and the Jews to be destroyed. They shouldn't live. In Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's the city we all look for. That is the hope of Israel. A city that will be built by God. A city that will turn the earth into the Garden of Eden again. Why did Paul mention this fact in the New Testament? Because this promise is yet future, to include all those whom verse 40 says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. That is, God's plan embraces the Gentiles. In Acts 13, verses 32 through 35, we declare unto you glad tidings, the gospel, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again. Who are the us, their children? The Jew first. In Romans 1, verses 1 through 4, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus, our Lord, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and also the Gentiles in Galatians 3:28-29, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise made to Abraham. The promise repeated to Isaac and Jacob. This is the promise that the New Testament continues to speak of. The promise of Christ coming to the earth and reigning. The promise of the temple being set up in Jerusalem. The promise that Abraham will inherit that land that he saw. The promise to inherit the land is conditional upon both Jews and Gentiles believing in a coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3, verses 6 through 9, as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, and thee shall all nations, Gentiles included, be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Paraphrasing the text we read in Galatians 3:16, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scriptures does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seeds, or unto your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. Christ was the seed. In Acts 3, verses 25 through 26, we read, "And you are heirs of the prophets, and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your seed, that is Christ, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, Christ, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." Concerning Abraham then, in Romans 4, verses 11 and 12, New Testament, "So then, he is the father of all who believe." And in Galatians 3, verse 7, "Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham." The kingdom of God. This is the temple I was speaking of, set up in Mount Zion. "In the days of these kings," in Daniel we're reading, "shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." We certainly have yet to see this come to pass. In the Old Testament, a prophecy of something that still has yet to come to pass. We're looking for that to happen soon. The third overturning of Israel, when Russia and their allies comes in, and Christ and the saints come in to save the Jews. And speaking of the earth, as I mentioned at first, many believe the earth will be destroyed. But in Habakkuk 2:14, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And in Numbers 14:21, "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." And in Isaiah 11, verse 9, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." God's not going to promise this by three different prophets and it not come to pass. Certainly someday the earth will be filled with God's glory and God's knowledge. And if we can keep our girdles from being soiled, if we can stay close to God, if we can work out our salvation with fear and trembling before Him, remembering that we are dust and ashes, then we can be a part of that kingdom. Thank you.